The following message is from Jeff Shreve, pastor of First Baptist Church, Texarkana, Texas, and From His Heart Ministries.
Amen. If you have your Bible, please turn to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We want to talk tonight, God's warning to the wealthy. Some of you may remember a book that was published in 1991. It was titled, The Day America Told the Truth. And it was surveys of many people in America asking a lot of different questions to find out what is really going on in the hearts and lives of American people. That was 1991. Here was one of the questions that was asked. What would you do for $10 million? What would you be willing to do for $10 million? We're not talking about what would you do for a Klondike bar. We're talking about what would you do for $10 million. The answers were shocking. 25% of the people who answered that question said they would abandon their families for $10 million. 23% said they would be a prostitute for a week. 7% said that they would murder a stranger, and 3% said they would put their children up for adoption for $10 million. That was 1991. No telling what people would do for that today, although $10 million doesn't buy what it used to. But the result of that survey shows our attitude toward money. And our attitude toward money is very telling about what's going on in our hearts. There's a connection between wealth and the heart, between money and the heart. Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 6. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And so when we talk about money, some people get a little nervous whenever they come to church and the subject is money, but James is going to hit the wealthy head on in chapter 5, and he's going to talk about this thing called money. And money does speak volumes about our lives, how we, and it's not so much how much you have or how much you don't have, but it's your attitude toward money. How you look at it, how you view it, how you interact with it, how you spend it. What is your attitude toward money? Hey, everyone needs money. We have to have money to get along in this world. Jesus, when he was in his earthly ministry, they had a treasurer in the group. His name was Judas. He was a thief, but they had a money bag because Jesus had to have money to make things go for his life and his ministry. Money is part of the living existence, and money is a wonderful servant, but it's a terrible master. And the Lord says, you be careful because you can't serve two masters. No one can serve two masters, and the struggle in most hearts is between money and God. That's why Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters. He'll either love the one and hate the other. He'll cling to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and riches, God and mammon. Now, I want to ask you a question, and I don't want you to answer out loud for fear that you would incriminate yourself. But how many in this room, just answer in the privacy of your own heart, if you answered honestly, would say, I want to get rich? I want to get rich. I had a friend of mine say that to me one time, one of my high school friends, and we were just out of college and we were trying to make it, you know, in the business world, young families. And he said, well, I can tell you one thing, Jeff, there's nothing wrong with wanting to get rich. There's nothing wrong with that. I want to get rich. So I pointed him to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare, and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. There's some serious warnings about wanting to get rich. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, and some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Money is not the root of all evil, but the love of money, your attitude toward money, That's the root of all evil. When you begin to love it and long for it and scheme for it and dream for it. And see, wealthy people can have a love of money. Poor people can have a love of money. It doesn't matter necessarily how much you have. It's your attitude toward it. So James is going to hit hard on the rich. And really, when you compare everyone in this room to the rest of the world, we're very, very rich. And so the rich and the wealthy, he's going to hit them hard that have this love of money, this attitude that says money is king. James chapter 5, verse 1, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. Your riches have rotted, and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted, and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which has been withheld by you cries out against you. And the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of angel armies. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you." Four warnings I want you to see that God gives us concerning money and wealth. Because the Lord does not want us to fall into the money pit and to fall in love with money. Warning number one, wealth is not to be hoarded. When James was talking to the rich, he is speaking primarily to those who have placed their faith in their riches and those who that it has become their God. And Jesus said, you can't serve God in riches. And these are people who are serving riches. Money is not the servant. Money has become their master. So he's going to be really hard toward judgment on these people because they've jumped the track, so to speak. But now we can learn, those of us who know Christ and love Christ, we can learn and we can heed the warnings that are found in this passage. So the first warning is wealth is not to be hoarded. That doesn't mean that wealth is not to be saved. Saving and saving for a rainy day, that's a good financial principle. That's good for businesses. That's good for churches. That's good for families and individuals is to save. John D. Rockefeller had this principle. He said, you give 10%, you save 10%, and you live on 80%. That's a pretty good principle. And it served him well. But what the Lord is talking about here is not about wise saving. He's talking about hoarding. He's talking about amassing wealth. Look at verse 2 again. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Your gold and your silver have rusted and their rust will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. You've amassed your treasure. Now, back in that day, there were three main ways people would amass wealth. They would do it with grain, they would do it with garments, and they would do it with gold and silver and precious metals. And so he hits on all of those. Your riches have rotted. Your garments have become moth-eaten. You know, the garments that get moth-eaten are the ones you don't wear. They're the ones that you have in the closet. They're the ones that you store. He's talking to people who have closets full of clothes. You know, there are clothes in your closet that say, he never picks me. I mean, they're just, some of us have, we have stuff that I hadn't worn that in years. I had a friend of mine that his weight would really fluctuate. So he had a big closet, and he was like, those are my fat pants, those are my medium pants, those are my skinny pants. He had like six different sizes of pants in his closet because it's like, well, you know, today I can't wear this, I got to wear that. Now, I understand that, but some of us have clothing that we hadn't worn it in years. And so these people, they had closets and closets and closets of clothes. They had barns filled with grain. You know, it's like the guy that Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 12, who he said, "Beware and be on guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." But he talked about the guy who built bigger barns so he could store all his grain. And then obviously in gold and silver, that is a form of hoarding wealth. And he hits all that. He said, your garments have become moth-eaten, your riches have rusted, and your riches have rotted. So the moth gets it, the mold gets your grain, and the rust and the tarnish gets at your silver and your gold. What he says is very much the same as what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Wealth is not to be hoarded. Wealth is to be invested in eternal things. And there are only three things that last forever: God, His Word, and people. And so if we're going to invest in eternal things, we invest in the Lord's work. We invest in the preaching of the gospel. We invest in preaching to people so that they can come into a personal relationship with Jesus. Many of the ministries that are done, we have to be careful that it's not just humanitarian aid. We say, well, that's important. That is important, but if you give aid without giving the gospel, you really don't help the person for eternity. You've heard me say before, and I heard it from Adrian Rogers, if all you give people is soup and soap and you don't give them salvation, all you do is make this world a better place from which to go to hell. We don't want to do that. We want to invest in people to connect them to the God of the universe and to His Word, which is able to save their souls. So that's the first warning. Wealth is not to be hoarded. Second warning, wealth is not to be stolen. That seems pretty obvious. We're not to steal wealth. It's in the Ten Commandments. You shall not steal. But that's what was happening with these folks in James chapter 5. They were rich, but how were they getting their riches? They were stealing from the poor. Look at verse 4. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields and which has been withheld by you cries out against you. And the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Jehovah Sabaoth, Yahweh Sabaoth, the Lord of angel armies. That speaks of God as a general, and He's going to come in and an attack. And they were stealing from the poor people. These rich people stealing from the poor people. And this is how they would do it. There was a law in Israel, Leviticus chapter 19, verse 13, that said this: you must not cheat or rob your neighbor. You must not hold a hired worker's salary overnight until morning. Because the hired workers, they're like the day laborer guys. The prodigal son said, do not my father's hired men have more than enough bread to eat? I'm going to go back to my father and see if he'll make me just a hired worker, a day laborer. That's the lowest rung on the totem pole. And those were guys that would come into the marketplace and they would get there just waiting and hoping that someone would hire them. And they desperately needed the pay for the day to be able to eat and to be able to take care of the family for that day. They were living hand to mouth, and it was day to day. And so if you withheld their pay, that was a terrible thing, because then they didn't have any money to eat that night. They didn't have anything to give to their families, and their families couldn't eat. So God said, don't do that. Well, that's what was happening in James chapter 5. And God saw it. And God says, their cries are coming up to me, and I'm the avenger of all people. He goes on to say in verse 6, you have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you. Now, most Bible commentators think he's talking about the court system there in verse 6. And he's saying that you don't pay the guys that you're supposed to pay. And if they try and take you to court, well, you have money to be able to influence the courts. And so the righteous man is getting the shaft. And he can't resist you because you beat him in court. You're stealing from the poor. That's a terrible thing, but that's how they were getting their wealth. And the Lord saw it, and the Lord took note, and the Lord did not like that at all. Well, what are the principles for us today? Pay your debts. God is saying, hey, I don't want you to steal. Wealth is not to be stolen, so pay your debts. If you owe the worker, you pay him. You don't put that off and say, well, I'll do that next week, next month, next year. Come back, in 5 months and maybe we'll see. I remember when I worked for Waste Management, there was a big company that we did business with, and they were notorious for not paying their bill until it got to be 120 days late, and then they would pay. This was a huge company, but they just decided, hey, if you're going to do business with us, that's how we pay, and if you don't like it, we'll go do business with somebody else. And so they would just invest that money that they didn't pay you for 4 months. They'd invest it, and they'd make money off your money, and they said, well, that's just the way we're going to do it. Well, that's terrible for a business. That's terrible for an individual to do that. Pay your debts and pay on time. And listen, the number one debt that all of us have is to God. Is to God. And so if you want God to bless you financially, the scripture says God will honor those who honor him. The one who honors me, him will I honor. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. If you honor God, he'll honor you. And the Bible says, Proverbs 3, verse 9, honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. What I have found to be true in my own life is if you put God first, you seek him first, you give to him first. With everything he gives to you, you give back to him a tithe, a tenth, that God blesses you for that. And that helps you to not fall in love with money because it breaks the greed. When you're giving, it breaks away the greed because many of us, we just have a tendency to want to hoard. We have a tendency to want to be greedy. We say, well, I just need to get a little more, a little more, a little more. You know, the Bible says, let your character be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I have Jesus, so I can be content with what he gives me and not have to desire more and more and more to be happy. Pay your debts. Don't spend money you don't have. And then on the reverse side, so you're an employer, hey, pay the people that work for you and pay your debts as an individual. You have bills coming in, put God at the top, and then you will be amazed at how he will stretch out that money and you'll be able to pay everybody else when you get things in order. And then from a worker's standpoint, earn your pay. See, sometimes the employer cheats the employee, and sometimes the employee cheats the employer. So earn your pay. You know, whatever you do, the Bible says, whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so when you are working a job, you may not like the job, but see, some people take a job and they're like, I really don't like this job, but I need a job, so I work here. And I don't like my boss, but you know, I mean, this is what it is. What does Colossians say? Chapter 3, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, it is the Lord Christ whom you serve. So whatever you do as a job, it's the Lord Christ whom you serve. I mean, you have a boss, but it's really, you're really working for God. And God sees everything that you do. God sees when you cut corners. I told you before about the missionary that was working with natives, and they were notorious for goofing off when he wasn't there. And so when he would be there, they would work, but when he wasn't there, they would goof off. Well, this man had a glass eye, and so one day he took out his glass eye, and those natives were just couldn't be like, what's up with that? And he put it on the chair, And then he left, and the eye was there. And they said, we got to work, because the eye is here. And it worked pretty well until somebody figured out, let's put a hat over the eye so you can't see it. God sees everything you do. Earn your pay. Pay your debts. Wealth is not to be stolen. Warning number three. Wealth is not to be wasted. Not to be hoarded, not to be stolen, not to be wasted. Look at verse 5. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. They were living high on the hog. They were spending money like it was going out of style, and it was all for them to spend it on their pleasures. What can I buy for me? What can I spend and lavish on me? It's all about me. And they were living luxuriously at the expense of the poor people, which made it even worse. Many of you remember the PTL scandal, Jim and Tammy Baker in the mid-1980s. Well, when that whole empire collapsed, the news report started coming out with how Jim and Tammy Baker spent money. And it was pretty disgusting. This is in the 80s. They gave each of themselves a $200,000 a year salary. Doesn't sound like too extravagant in today's world, but in the 80s, that was a lot. Plus, they gave themselves $4 million in bonuses. They had a $600,000 house in Palm Springs. They had four condos. They had a Rolls Royce. They spent $100,000 in 1 year just flying their clothes across the country to meet their needs if they didn't have the right clothes with them. And this was extremely opulent, in my opinion. They spent $100 on cinnamon rolls in their hotel room, not to eat, just because they liked the smell of cinnamon rolls. Well, that's the kind of thing that the Lord is talking about here. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and led a life of wanton pleasure. Now, you got to remember, too, for Jim and Tammy, they're in the ministry. They're spending ministry money, money that people had given, money that little old ladies had sent in, their last $100 per se, and they're using that for cinnamon rolls, just for the smell of it. It's awful. And you'll notice when you read the scripture, the book of Jude and 2 Peter chapter 2 especially talks about false teachers. And one of the ways that you know that that throws up a big red flag with anybody that you would hear, any preacher, anybody on television, anybody on the radio, is as it relates to money. What are they doing? How much money are they bringing in? How much money are they taking for themselves? How do they live? What do they drive? Where do they live? Because one of the marks of a false teacher is he's in it for the money. It's all about greed and gain. And he looks at people as dollar signs. How can I get you to give me money? And so wealth, the scripture says, is not to be wasted. So what do we do with wealth? Wealth is to be used wisely. God's given it to us, and he says, you're a steward of this, and I want you to use it and use it wisely. Now, we're not talking about being wasteful. We're talking about being tasteful. It's okay to spend money. It's okay to sometimes splurge on certain things. You know, we splurge on things like a honeymoon. We splurge on things like a birthday deal or an anniversary or big Christmas or something like that. That's okay, provided that you have it. If you don't have it, then you can't do it. And then you're starting to get into stealing because you're spending money that you don't have. I remember hearing a story about somebody put on a big wedding for his daughter and spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, and after the wedding was over, just a few months later, filed for bankruptcy. Knew he was going to file for bankruptcy because he didn't have the money, but he still wanted to have a $20,000 wedding. That's just thievery. You know that in your heart. You know that's wrong before God, and God sees that, and God knows that's wrong. So it's fine to use the money if you have it in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. But it's to be tasteful, not wasteful. Wealth is to be used wisely, and wealth is to be used generously. God gives us all things to enjoy. And he wants us to be generous with the things that he gives us, to be ready to share with how he blesses us. Generosity is a great thing. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 25, the generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. Now, I have noticed that some people are just naturally generous. I mean, it's just part of their personality. They want to give. I have a daughter like that, my youngest daughter, Sarah. She's just a natural giver. And when she was little, she would always want to, she just want to give away things. I think I told you the story about Cheez-Its, where Debbie would buy, she'd go to Sam's, get a big thing of Cheez-Its. And she would notice that the Cheez-Its were gone really fast. She's like, what's the deal? Who's eating all the Cheez-Its? And then she found out that Sarah was stuffing her backpack with them and giving them to everybody on the bus. And Debbie's like, hey, time out. We can't feed the bus with Cheez-Its. But that's just Sarah. She just wants to give away. And sometimes I have to tell her, or I had to tell her, I said, Sarah, you don't have any money. So you got to be toned down the generosity here, because you're being generous with my money, and that's not a good thing. But God wants us to be generous. You know who's taught me a lot about generosity? Is Larry Sims. Larry is a very generous person. Larry loves to bless people in special ways, in special financial ways. And so there's a great blessing when you give to someone unexpectedly, generously, and just out of the blue, boom, here you go. God put this on my heart to give to you. Now, one of the ways that we can make a difference in just in our own community, and especially as a church, is when you go out to eat, you give generously to the server. You know, the worst testimony that we have as Christians, one of the worst, is that people know you don't want to work at the restaurant as a server on Sunday, because that's all the church people, and the church people are cheap. The lost people will give you 15 or 20%. The church people give you 5% and a how to know Jesus track. It's like, that's not the way to know Jesus, is by being so cheap. So I just would encourage you to be generous, so that the server sees, oh, there's a First Baptist crowd coming in to the restaurant. Man, I want to handle their table. Why? Because they're so generous, and they're kind, and they're encouraging. Be generous, and God will bless you for that. Wealth is not to be wasted. It's to be used wisely and generously. And lastly, wealth is not to be trusted. Verse 1. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. See, I think these six verses, he's not talking to Christians. He's talking to people who have put their faith and trust in their money. And they're hoarding it, and they're stealing it, and they're wasting it, and they're trusting in it. They're looking to their money to save them. But the Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse 4, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Riches can't get you out of hell. I don't care if you have more money than Bill Gates. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, when you die, all your money is left behind. It doesn't do you any good. You never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. It just doesn't work like that. You may have heard the story about the man who had so much money, and he was sick, and he was getting ready to die. They sent him home from the hospital, and he said to his wife, he said, you know, they say you can't take it with you, but I don't believe that. He said, so I took a bunch of money, and I put it up in the attic right above my bed. And he said, when I die, I'm going to come up through the ceiling and grab that money on my way to heaven. Well, he died. And she forgot what he had said. And one day she was up in the attic putting some things away, and she saw that big bag of money. And she laughed to herself and she said, "Oh, that fool. I told him he should have put that in the basement." Riches do not profit in the day of wrath. Don't trust in your money. There's a story that's told about Charlemagne, Emperor Charlemagne, who died in 814 AD. He was some kind of a ruler, and people held him up in such high esteem. Well, when he got ready to die, he had specific instructions of how he wanted to be laid to rest, so to speak. He said, "I want you to dress me in my royal robes. I want you to put the crown on my head and a scepter in my hand and put me on my throne. And then you seal up the coffin." And he said, "No one is to open this coffin." And they were afraid that there was a curse if you opened the coffin. So no one opened the coffin for almost 200 years. And finally they opened the coffin. And there they saw a grotesque picture. Here was Charlemagne. His flesh was gone. His garments were moth-eaten. His crown was tilted and fallen on his skull. And he had, of all things, a copy of the scripture in his lap. And he had a bony finger pointing to a verse in Mark chapter 8. And it said this: "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" Riches don't profit in the day of wrath. Riches are not to be trusted. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other. He will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, God and riches. Now, I don't know where you are tonight as it relates to money. But listen, you want to know how you are doing spiritually? Money is a great indicator of how you're doing spiritually. Because your heart and your money are tied together. And the Bible makes it clear. Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." If you want to get your heart focused on heaven, start investing your treasure in the things of God. And it will be there. The moth won't get it. The rust won't get it. Thieves won't break in and steal. And when you die, you will see all that your money did to make a difference for God's kingdom.
You've been listening to Pastor Jeff Shreve of First Baptist Church, Texarkana, and From His Heart Ministries. For a complete listing of Pastor Jeff's messages, check out our website at fromhisheart.org.